You're listening to a podcast from the Brookings Institution.
It's not just growing tension. There's definitely growing tension. But I think for the first time, I'm sensing a reassessment of the whole logic of the relationship in ways that we haven't seen even right after Mubarak fell.
This is At Brookings, a weekly in-depth look at issues behind the news. This week, the U.S.-Egypt relationship 1 year after the Arab Awakening.
1 year after the Arab Spring brought revolution to Egypt, that nation remains unsettled with the ultimate form of its democracy as yet to be determined. Continuing uncertainties about the role of the Muslim Brotherhood, the Egyptian military, and the fledgling political sects among the revolutionaries have led to tensions with the U.S. Could U.S.-Egyptian relations be nearing a tipping point? Senior fellow Shively Telhami takes a closer look.
The military was part of the regime. People wondered, could they let go of Mubarak? Could they be on the right side of history? Could they do it peacefully? Will they repress the public? And seemingly, they did let go of Mubarak. They allowed the revolution to take place. They scored well with the public. We seem to be winners in some ways because our close ally, the military, with whom we have been cooperating for three decades, was on the right side of history. That was really a happy moment. The ending could not have been better for American foreign policy, given that we've witnessed a revolution. Right now, there's a creeping reality, and the reality is a little bit different. Number one is that we see that after the Egyptian parliamentary elections, the people who are winning are Islamists that the U.S. historically thought of as being on the other side of the equation, and with whom the U.S. does not have very close relations. And the only instrument of influence the U.S. still has on a large scale in a changing Egypt is still the military institution.
Well, as you noted, the U.S. and Egypt's military have had a long relationship. So what's driving these tensions now?
A sense in Washington that some of the military leaders are trying to slow or reverse the revolution has given the U.S. A lot of tension in the relationship with Egypt. On the one hand, they want to maintain the relationship with the military. On the one hand, they want to pressure the military. But the military is facing its own dilemma in Egypt itself. On the one hand, it does want to keep its relationship with the U.S. It wants to keep its relationship with Israel, both because it's mutually beneficial and because they also understand how important Israel is to the West. They want to send a message to the outside world that they are the anchors of stability and continuity and defending international agreements. On the other hand, they're worried about losing their legitimacy at home.
The military will eventually have to cede its leadership role to the Muslim Brotherhood, an Islamic group. What does that mean for the U.S.-Egyptian relationship going forward?
The Muslim Brotherhood, of course, is now the single most powerful entity in Egypt. This is the first time in the history when they're going to have an opportunity to govern. Egypt is in a difficult situation economically, politically, and they don't want things to be messed up by foreign policy issues. They're certainly not looking for war. They're sending reassurances to the outside world, including even to the Israelis. But on the other hand, you have a politically volatile public opinion. So if there is any kind of a crisis, there is not a single entity, and certainly not the Muslim Brotherhood, who could apply the brakes. And that's why, in some ways, they're not entirely unhappy to have a military that is somewhat that has a role. All Egyptians want Egypt to be militarily powerful. They see Egypt as a leader in the region. So they don't want to weaken the military.
The U.S. has given Egypt billions of dollars over the years. Does this financial relationship between these two countries matter at all to the Egyptian people?
It's not just the amount of money. It's also the cooperation and the equipment and the strategic cooperation that comes with it, the ties that come with it. The U.S., of course, gets a lot in return. A lot of it is not visible, which is major strategic cooperation, intelligence cooperations, access to the Suez Canal, and so forth. And it's very hard to make an evaluation of how much that is. The public in Egypt doesn't really directly see the benefit of that aid. They see it as a number. And they see that it's coming as, you know, they see it essentially as bribery to keep them away from doing the things that they want to do. And, quote, this is a revolution about dignity. So you can see where this comes in at the public level where they see this as a going to a privileged few, and that it's not trickling down at a time when they don't trust the military institution anyway. They see the money going to the military institution principally. So the money doesn't, at this point, buy a lot of public loyalty toward the U.S.
Are U.S.-Egyptian relationships now at a tipping point?
Egypt, as the most populous, historically most powerful Arab state, has been the anchor of American foreign policy in the Middle East for the past three decades. Certainly, since it's peeled itself away from the Soviet Union as a Soviet ally in the mid-70s and after it concluded its peace treaty with Israel in the late 70s. Since that period, you know, American foreign policy has been based on that relationship. We took it for granted. It's not just because Egypt could give us an entree into much of the Arab world and certainly into our public opinion, but more importantly, perhaps, that the peace treaty between Israel and Egypt has anchored a political order that limited the chances of a very large Arab-Israeli war. No Arab country has had the capacity that Egypt had. And so for that reason, American policy has been tailored, in the entire Middle East has been tailored to essentially to this relationship with Egypt. So let's be a little bit more patient and with the country. I think we're panicking in a way a little too early. There are questions to ask, and they are being asked, and our political system is impatient. We're also going through an election year that makes it more difficult. But we really have to be careful here. Egypt is still an important country. What happens is still important to the U.S. And we're just going to have, while we obviously have to insist on our interest, we have to be far more patient in watching this play itself out in Egypt.
Stay up to date with the latest research, learn about Brookings events, and search our directory of experts, all from your mobile device. To download Brookings for your BlackBerry, Android, iPhone, or iPad, go to brookings.edu/mobile.